Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
Good morning, everybody. If we haven't met, my name is Paul and look forward to meeting you. What a great time of worship, real battle zone worship. Lifting up the name of Jesus pushes all those demons back. Whether you are having a dream or a nightmare in the middle of the night, or whether you are wide awake in a church service, saying the name of Jesus pushes back the forces that are arrayed against you. Because we like it or not, whether we join the battle or not, we are in a battleground, an eternal spiritual battleground going on around us. And the devil is always trying to trick us into thinking the wrong thing, trick us into being distracted and forgetting who we are and where we are. But today we're talking about prayer, as we have been doing this month. And if I had a title for this message, it would probably be along the lines of "Prayer is better than you think it is." Or for those of you who think prayer is really good, it's probably even better than you think it is. And I'd like us to shift the way we think about prayer, how we frame it. Because if we don't frame it correctly, we don't get all the benefit of prayer. We go into prayer with wrong thinking. And I believe God wants us to have the right thinking about prayer so we can get so much more out of our prayer life. Have a look at this verse here, Hebrews 4, verse 16. "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most." Now, we can think about prayer as a task, as a grind, as work, as a job, as a burden. But in fact, we need to change our thinking, because prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a great privilege. It's a great opportunity. It's a wonderful privilege. It's a wonderful pleasure. The veil in the temple was torn, and the gap, the wall between God and humanity was opened. For those of us who are followers of Christ, we have the great privilege of being able to enter into the throne room of God whenever we want. What a great privilege. I remember when I left teaching at Emmaus Christian School, I had to hand back all the keys, the master keys, because I was the master. And I could go into, I had access to anywhere I wanted to go. But then I give the keys back and had to go somewhere else and do something, and I got to a door and it was locked. I couldn't get in. I had lost the privilege of access. But you and I have the privilege of access to the throne room of God, where we can go in at no cost to us. The price has been paid. The key has been handed to you. You have in your hand, in your grasp, a key to a place far bigger than we can ever imagine, to a place full of more holy joy than we could ever imagine, to a place, a room full of love more greater than we could ever imagine. And we can go in and we can enjoy that. We can enjoy God's love for us. We can let him pour out his love upon us. What a wonderful privilege prayer is. Are you taking advantage of your privileges? Are you going into the business class lounge that you have access to? Or are you avoiding it because it feels like work? Yes, I haven't quite got there yet to first class. So I can relate to business class, but maybe in a few years get to first class. All right, first class lounge. It's the first class lounge. And the business lounge and whatever other lounge, you've got access to it. But the point is, are you going in? Every day, every moment, what is your frequency? We'll get to that in a minute. Sometimes we go in to pray, going and turn to God, and we believe that He is disappointed with us. We are so aware of our failings and foibles. Foibles is the word of the day. If you don't know what foibles are, they're kind of like troubles, but with a foy. Your faults, we go in there and we think, there's a problem with who I am. But look at this, Ezekiel 11 verse 5. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me and He told me to say, this is what the Lord says to the people of Israel. I know what you're saying, for I know every thought that comes into your minds. Another verse in the Bible says He knows what we're going to pray about before we open our mouths, before we know what is going to come out ourselves. So God already knows everything that you're thinking about. He already knows all the silly things we've thought, all the wrong things we've thought, all the evil things, selfish things that we've thought. And yet He still invites us to come in. And He still welcomes us. And He still loves us. The one who knows us the most loves us the most. And so just because we have got things playing in our mind and a track record that isn't perfect should not cause us to pull away from God, but to run to Him. And it's a typical human trait that we are all so self-conscious when God wants us to be Jesus-conscious. We're aware of our own inabilities and our own mistakes and our own lack. But that's been the case ever since Adam and Eve ran away from God in the garden. Why did they run away? Well, they suddenly were aware of their lack. They were suddenly self-conscious. They suddenly realized they were naked. They suddenly realized that before God, they were full of guilt and shame. And they hid from God. And that's the natural human response to meeting God. Isaiah had the same thing when God met with him. His first response was, "Depart from me, I'm a man of evil lips." Ezekiel had the same response. Peter, Simon Peter in his boat, when Jesus said, "Cast the net on the right-hand side." And he did so and he hauled in a huge amount of fish. And he said to Jesus, "You need to go away from me. I'm nobody. I'm an evil man." He became very self-conscious. And if we're going to get the most out of prayer, we need to become more Jesus-conscious than self-conscious. Because when we're Jesus-conscious, we have a conference later, we'll do that. When you're conscious of Jesus, you're conscious of His beauty and His perfection and how He has imputed that to us. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. And He says, you can come in because you've been washed clean. You've been covered. Don't feel guilty and ashamed anymore. So we need to change out our self-consciousness and become more aware of Jesus. Because it's such a privilege to come into God's presence and to know that He treats us as if we've done nothing wrong, because He looks at us as He looks at Jesus. God wants to bring us blessing. We think He wants to remind us of everything we did wrong. We need to change that. God is not going to be poking you in the chest when you pray. He's going to be encouraging you. He wants to bless us. He wants to lift us up. He wants to remind us of Jesus' righteousness and Jesus' victory. He wants us to be aware of Jesus' righteousness that lives in us. We can think of prayer as something that we have to do because we're a Christian, and if we're going to be good, we should be praying. So we pray and pray and pray and say, amen. Done. Great. I'm a good Christian because I've prayed. But God says, you don't have to do anything. I have already done everything for you. You don't have to act like you're doing this thing of ticking a box, ticking another box to make yourself good. I've already made you good. I've already goodified you. Colossians 1:22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. The result is that he has brought us into his throne room, into his presence. And we are righteous and holy as we stand before him without a single fault. That's how God looks at you. How do you look at yourself as you go in to pray? Because if we take that on board, we can come into the throne room with boldness, not to boss God around, tell him orders and everything. We come in with humility and a great gratitude. Thank you, God, that you call me righteous. Thank you that you call me holy. Thank you that you say I am blameless. Thank you, Lord, that I do not have a single fault in your eyes. Thank you so much. I want to stop thinking about all the things that I'm not good at and think about all the things that you have given me. I want to become conscious of Jesus and not so thinking about myself. Look at Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. God's great love for us is that he picks us up out of the mud. God is always lifting us. God's desire is not to squash us and tell us how hopeless and horrible we are. He wants to lift us up and encourage us and tell us how wonderful his love is for us, how beautiful we are. We can let all the ashes go because he's made us beautiful. You know, when the prodigal son came back to his father in that story, he'd just been living with pigs in a pigsty, eating pig food, and he would have stunk. But the father ran towards him, wearing some expensive robe, some sort of Louis Vuitton belt, and he just embraced him, pig poop and all. He doesn't care about pig poop. He's not afraid of pig poop. He cleanses it like that. And we can feel like, how could anyone love me that much? It's true. Only God can. But let's take advantage of that great privilege to have him wrap us up in his arms of love. He's always lifting us up. Come on. You are so much more than someone who is living with pigs. You're a child, and I want to lift you up. I want to encourage you. I want to bless you. All the promises God gave to Abraham belong to us because we're in Christ. God says, I've got so many blessings for you. I bless you. I want to spend time with you to bless you, to lift you up to a higher place, to come up. We're seated in Christ to the highest possible place. That's what I created you. That's where I created you to be. So rather than stand back in our shame and our self-conscious sense of not being deserving, we tentatively push in. And we find that in response to our drawing near to God, he draws near to us. Like the father in the prodigal son, he's not afraid of anything that we bring into that place because he can just clean it with a look. He's not afraid of any thought that we've just been thinking. He already knows those thoughts and he still loves us. And the last point is that we feel like we never pray enough. You know, doesn't matter if you pray for 10 minutes, you think, I could have gone 15. Could have gone for an hour yesterday. I've heard someone preach about how we should be praying for at least an hour every day because Jesus said to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, couldn't you even pray for an hour? He doesn't talk about time anywhere else. I'm sure that we're not in the Garden of Gethsemane with the Lord about to go to the cross and him desperately needing some people with him. It's a different situation. And time is not the issue anyway. If someone said to me, well, how much, you know, if they sort of say, well, I prayed for 2 hours yesterday, it's like saying, well, I talked to my wife for 2 hours yesterday, so our marriage must be really good. What did you talk about? Well, I always talk about the same thing. We always have a little formula that I use. My wifey, who art in marriage, hallowed be your name. Your queendom come. Your will be done. In kitchen as in lounge room. Give us today my daily kiss. And forgive all my sins of forgetting to put the garbage out and forgetting what you said yesterday. As I forgive you for those one or two minor glitches that we've had ever since we've been married, if any. Lead me not into temptation to spend more money at Bunnings than we have, but deliver me from evil, carbohydrates. For yours is the queendom, the money and the decor, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And that brings me to the end of my talk with you, darling. I'll be back with you tomorrow to say exactly the same thing. I don't believe that Jesus, with the Lord's Prayer, was telling us so much as what to say as how to say. Because a real relationship doesn't mean that I'm saying the same thing every day to my wife. And the issue is not how much time did I spend talking to my wife yesterday, because the answer is I spent the whole day with her. You know, we're in the kitchen sometimes talking. Sometimes we did sit down and have a heart-to-heart, eye-to-eye. Other times she was in one part of the house and I was in the other, we were yelling things out. You know, yes, I did. I did turn the microwave on. Other times we're passing in the hallway. Because the issue is, in a real relationship, you are constantly talking. And the same thing with God. Oh, it's time to talk to God. Yes, there will be times when we go out for a date night, we have a specific, you know, nothing, no distractions time, and other times during the day when we do that, but we just hang together, and God wants to hang with you. What a great privilege. Who are you talking to? I'm talking to the master of the universe. I'm talking to the God of the ages. I'm talking to the one who holds all power in his hands, all keys to life. He speaks life. He's my secret source of life. He is the secret source. And I talk with him right through the day. Lord, how am I going to do this issue? I'm not sure whether to do this now or this now. I'm not sure whether to choose to do that or that. I'm not sure whether to sell this right now or to hold on a bit longer. Lord, I need your instructions. I need your directions, because we have a real relationship with him. And the Lord's Prayer is all about how to have that relationship. It's all about going to God, recognizing that he's our Father, recognizing that he is God and I'm not. And his will is better than mine. And I can trust that he will direct my paths anyway. Asking him for my daily bread is a recognition that I need him. I need his provision. Asking for his forgiveness is a recognition that I need his forgiveness. I need his cleansing. And I need to forgive people around me. I need to have a short account with anybody who's offended me. I just write it off. That's gone. I'm not holding on to it anymore. Recognizing that I need him to lead me out of temptation, lead me on the paths of righteousness, and to avoid things that distract me. And I need him to protect me from any attack, spiritual attack that might come my way. That's how we pray. With all that in the back of our mind, we talk to God throughout the day. Bless the Lord. And we get to hear that voice. We get to, over time, we get to know that voice more and more easily until we recognize that's God talking to me. I need to really listen to that. When Peter was told to put the nets onto the right side of his boat and bring out a big haul, he hadn't been reading the Old Testament trying to search for what to do because he couldn't find any fish that day. And find a verse in the Old Testament that says, when you're in trouble, put your nets in on the right-hand side. No, there's no verse that said that. He had the living Word of God in front of him, speaking a word at that time for him, and he obeyed it because he trusted that word. Now, Jesus isn't walking the earth the way he did then, but he's left the Holy Spirit with us. And each of us has access to the Holy Spirit's voice, where he can say to us, you need to put your nets in that side. Doesn't make sense, Lord. Trust me. And as we go into that great privileged space of prayer and we open ourselves up to God, we discover over time that we can hear his voice. And we start to trust it. And we start to say, okay, that's crazy, but I'm going to do it because I know that voice. So let's take advantage of that privilege of prayer, privilege that God wants to spend time with us, and he's got so much for us if we just use the key. Let's close our eyes. And if you're a believer here and you have certain rules about when you pray and when you don't, do you have any rules like that with the people that you love in your life? I don't think you probably do. So you can throw them all away and you can start talking to God like he's sitting next to you every moment, whenever you want. Just lean over to him, hear what he has to say. You can ask him right now, God, is there something you want me to hear from you right now? In the James, God promises that if you ask him for wisdom, he'll give it to you. Thank you, Lord. And while every eye is closed, if you have come to church today, but you do not follow Christ yet, then I invite you to respond to his voice. If you can hear him saying, give me your life and I'll give you my life, then respond to that today. Hand over the keys of your life and receive the keys to real life from him. And join us as we pray this prayer today of recommitment. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you that you love us even when we are covered with pig poop. I didn't hear everyone say that, but we'll keep going. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay for all my sins. I'm sorry for ignoring you. Please forgive me. Please take my life and fill it with your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.au.